fact, I might even go too far in the opposite direction. My sign would say something like, "Smoke if you wish, but if you do, be prepared for the following series of events. First, we will confiscate your cigarette and extinguish it somewhere on the surface of your skin. We will then run your nicotine-stained fingers through a paper shredder and throw them into the street, where wild dogs will swallow and then regurgitate them into the sewers so that infected rats can further soil them before they're flushed out to sea with the rest of the city's filth. After such time, we will systematically seek out your friends and loved ones and destroy their lives." Wouldn't you like to see a sign like that? I'll bet a lot of smokers would think twice about lighting up near a sign like that. You have to be direct. Thank you for not smoking is simply embarrassing. Personally, I think all of this upgraded feel-good language is a further sign of America's increasing uncertainty about itself. I'm sure you've noticed that many restaurants can't simply say cheeseburger on the menu. They have to get cute and over-descriptive. Well, why not go along with them? Why not use the menu's own language when you place your order? But if you do, you got to do it right. No fair reading directly from the menu. Instead, you must memorize the exact description given of the item you've chosen and then look the waiter directly in the eye as you say, "I'll have the succulent, fresh-ground, government-inspected, choice, all-beef, 8-ounce, char-broiled sirloin patty, served on your own award-winning, lightly-toasted sesame seed bun, and topped with a generous slice of Wisconsin's finest golden cheddar cheese, made from pure grade-A premium milk, recently extracted from a big, fat, smelly cow infected with flesh-eating bacteria." See if that doesn't get you good service. But before the waiter leaves your table, ask for a glass of water. Say, "Would you mind bringing me a clear, cylindrical, machine-crafted, moderate-capacity drinking vessel filled with nature's own colorless, odorless, extra-wet liquid water?" That pisses them off. I never get critical or judgmental about whether or not a movie is any good. The way I look at it, if several hundred people got together every day for a year or so, a number of them willing to put on heavy makeup, wear clothes that aren't their own, and pretend to be people other than themselves, and their whole purpose for doing all this was to entertain me, then I'm not going to start worrying about whether or not they did a good job. The effort alone was enough to make me happy. Dear political activists, all your chanting, marching, voting, picketing, boycotting, and letter writing will not change a thing. You will never right the wrongs of this world. The only thing your activity will accomplish is to make some of you feel better. Such activity makes powerless people feel useful and provides them with the illusion that they're making a difference. But it doesn't work. Nothing changes. The powerful keep the power. That's why they're called the powerful. This is similar to people's belief that love can overcome everything, that it has some special power. It doesn't, except one-on-one. One-on-one, love is incredibly powerful. It is a beautiful thing. But if love had any power to change the world, it would have prevailed by now. Love can't change the world. It's nice, it's pleasant, it's better than hate. But it has no special power over things. It just feels good. Love yourself, find another person to love, and feel good. Love, George. Remember, drinking and driving don't mix. Safety experts suggest you do your drinking first and get it out of the way. Then go driving. When your toilet won't stop running, and you put your hand in the tank to fix the chain, don't you wonder briefly whether or not the water in the tank has already been in the toilet bowl? If you can't say something nice about a person, go ahead. I'm not taking sides here, but in listening to a discussion about the Middle East on C-SPAN the other night, I realized I would rather tongue-kiss Yasser Arafat than ass-fuck Ariel Sharon. It's got nothing to do with politics. It's just a feeling I had. Is Bruno a sadist?
Beats me.
They say that rather than cursing the darkness, one should light a candle. They don't mention anything about cursing a lack of candles. Beethoven was a pupil of Haydn, and Schubert lived near the two of them. Supposedly they all frequented the same little cafes. I wonder if they ever got together and gang-banged the lady piano player. Just a thought. If you're a criminal, the best way to be is at large. We have classifications called legally blind and legally dead. What about legally tired? I think a guy should be able to declare himself legally tired so he could get out of doing things he didn't want to do. If I ever have a stroke, I hope it'll be early in the morning so I don't take my vitamins that day for no reason. The American Eye Association reminds you that styes are caused by watching young girls get undressed.
You know what kind of guy you never see anymore? A fop.
I typed the word Google into Google. Guess what came up? Everything. True fact. The Professional Bowlers Association sanctions a tournament called the Odor Eaters Open. It's probably because of all those rented shoes. I wonder how many eventual homicides have resulted from wedding ceremonies performed at the Happy Wedding Bell Chapel in Las Vegas. I'll never forget Spando. Spando wasn't able to sit around and talk about the good times, because in the 60 years he'd lived, he'd had only one good time. And he would never tell anyone what it was, because he was afraid that if he talked about it, it wouldn't seem as good anymore. I notice Connie Chung has faded away again. Personal ad. Hello, I am Henri. I am 55 years old, and I am looking for someone who will leave me alone. Please respond. And then leave me alone. Christians must be sick in the head. Only someone who hates himself could possibly think of the pleasures of masturbation as self-abuse. I believe the next trend in cosmetic surgery will be a procedure that leaves the person with a cryptic smile. Occasionally, of course, the surgeon's hand will slip, and the patient will wind up with a baffled look. Are you sick of crime? Well, some communities are doing something about it. They're putting people to death for no reason. Why not start a similar program in your town? Hang a few people in a public area and watch those crime statistics improve. You'll be amazed. There are some people who are so nondescript that if their identities were stolen, it would be an improvement. True fact. It's against the law to mutilate grave remains. So apparently it's not illegal to be in possession of grave remains. The trouble starts when you mutilate them. Nice distinction. I have an impersonal trainer. We meet at the gym, we don't talk, he works out alone, and I go home. Here's how money can buy happiness. Money gives you options. Options give you breathing room. Breathing room gives you control. And control can offer you a measure of happiness. Maybe. True fact. You can now buy vibrating panties. They're a kind of thong with a built-in vibrator. Just what we needed. If no one knows when a person is going to die, how can we say he died prematurely? I can't help it. I just have this gut feeling that the mafia is controlled by organized crime. I don't know what it is, but something fishy is going on. I wonder if a classical music composer ever intentionally composed a piano piece that was physically impossible to play and then stuck it away in a trunk to be found years after his death, knowing it would forever drive perfectionist musicians crazy. All patriarchal societies are either preparing for war, at war, or recovering from war. Somebody said to me, "I can't believe Jerry Garcia is dead." And I thought, doesn't this guy know? Everybody's dead. It's all a matter of degree.
I can't wait for the sun to explode. It's gonna be great. Just 3 billion years. I'm so fucking impatient. If you have a legal problem, guess how you determine whether or not you need a lawyer? You see a lawyer. Isn't that weird? Middle brow bumper sticker in California. If you can dream it, you can do it. Yeah, sure. Unless the thing you're dreaming is impossible. Then, chances are, you can't do it. But try to enjoy life anyway.
I collect rocks.
How many you got?
One. I just started.
Hey, kids, get high on sports, not drugs. But if there are no sports in your neighborhood, go ahead and get high on drugs. If you had yourself cloned, who exactly would be your parents? Can you raise yourself? I guess so. And it might be fun. Just think, by the age of 6, you'd be driving yourself to school. Regarding these creationists, aren't these the same people who gave us alchemy and astrology, and who told us the Earth, besides being flat, was at the center of the universe? Why don't we just kill these fucking people? Here's an idle thought. I wonder if a perverted priest has ever tried to stick a crucifix up a kid's ass. Just wondering. The wrong two beetles died first. I wonder if anyone who was working in or near the World Trade Center that day took advantage of all the confusion to simply disappear. What a great way to get away from your family. Indoor electrical illumination is often referred to as artificial light. How can it be artificial? The way I look at it is this. If I can read by it, see myself in the mirror, and recognize my friends, it's probably as real as I'm ever going to need it to be. You know what you never see anymore? A guy with a pencil behind his ear. True fact. One of those clubs that feature nude dancers recently got in trouble with the government because it didn't have wheelchair ramps. Here's something I don't care about in a movie or a TV show. A blind girl. This is the story of a blind girl who... Click! You know what? As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing they can do with a blind girl. Well, maybe a couple of things, but there's nothing they can tell me about a blind girl that's going to interest me. I don't care that she's blind. I don't care if she learns how to communicate with geese. I don't care if she can identify 300 different flowers from their smells. I really don't care. Does she fuck? Now you're talking. Hello, I'm Fred Ponsoloni III, president of the Fart Retrieval League. We all know that millions of farts are released by Americans each day. But did you know not all of them are free to rejoin the atmosphere? It's true. A small but significant number of farts each day are hopelessly trapped in seat cushions, suspended forever in cotton padding or foam rubber. We're asking you to help rescue these forgotten farts by sending your donations to the Fart Retrieval League. We'll send you a booklet entitled The Facts on Farts. And next time you're in a hotel lobby, do your part. Jump up and down on a seat cushion for several minutes and liberate a few trapped farts. The Noodleman Twins Television Network proudly presents America's longest-running daytime drama, As the Turd Whirls. A day-to-day chronicle of ordinary people desperately in need of professional intervention and perhaps even cranial surgery. Take a break in your day, as once again we flush the toilet of life, and as blue water fills the bowl, we watch fascinated, as the turd whirls. Romantic music is heard as a well-built man approaches a beautiful woman in an upscale bar.
Hi, you want to play a game?
What kind of game?
It's called Count the Man's Balls.
Die in a fire, bourgeois scum.
We really should get together. I'm an interesting guy. I can take a live cockroach and put it up my nose and pretend it's not there. I also like to do unusual things to small woodland mammals, but not until I pull out all their claws. Otherwise, look out! Lots of screaming from Vinny. I'll bet you never dated a guy like me. Believe me, I'm worth a try.
I wouldn't go home with you if you had 6 dicks.
Come on, I purposely didn't jerk off today just so I could take someone home. You want to compare hard-ons?
I'm a woman, Trouser Stain.
So, let me see your hard-on.
Listen, I can't take the time to explain anatomy to you. I've been waiting all day just to get out of this tight underwear. I'm getting real moist in my groin area. I'd love to take off my clothes and have someone massage me firmly but gently all around my crotch. My female organs are warm and pulsating, and I can smell the sexual fluids and secretions flowing out of me and mingling with my sweat.
Now you're talking! Let's go to my house!
Okay, but no sex. Understand?
Fine by me, but can I at least jerk off? I waited all day.
Join us again tomorrow on As the Turd Whirls, as Trent has to decide whether to blow the mailman in exchange for free stamps. Farmers are on government welfare, and you pay for it. Good year, bad year, doesn't matter. They still get money. In a bad year, drought or floods, the crop is poor, incomes drop, farmers can't make their payments, and they need financial help. You pay for it. In a good year, favorable weather, there's a bumper crop. Prices fall, income drops. Farmers can't make their payments, and they need financial help. You pay for it. Either way, farmers win, you lose. Well, I guess we should be grateful. At least there's plenty of tasteless food, all safely sprayed and filled with contaminants. You know, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts. You know what I don't understand? People on the street having casual conversations on a cell phone. Casual stuff. Walking along, just visiting. So how's Ellen?
Good. Tell her I said hello. Too casual for me. You know what a cell phone call ought to sound like?
Hello, Tony. Tony, my pants are on fire. I'm going to go to the firehouse.
What?
Take my pants off. Good idea. Thanks. Listen, say hello to Ellen, will you? I gotta go. My bush is catching fire.
Now that's a fucking cell phone call. Not this shit.
So what are you doing, Joey? Watching TV?
Really?
I was only guessing. What's on?
Oh, I saw that.
Try another channel. Yeah, go ahead. I'll wait.
Try to find a phone plan that provides more than just free minutes. See if there are any companies that are offering free brains.
A phone rings. Hello, philosophy department.
Is Jack there?
Well, what do we mean when we say Jack? Is there really such an entity? Or is Jack simply a description, a label?
There are countless people who call themselves Jack. Can they all be doing so accurately?
And by the way, where is this there you speak of? As I listen to you, I experience your voice as a physical sensation within my head.
Certainly Jack isn't in there. Wherever your entity called Jack is, it's probably safe to say that that is where he is. At least for the moment.
I just would like to speak with Jack.
I'm sorry. Jack was killed this morning.
Or was he?
After all, here we are, talking about him. Is he truly gone? One way of looking at it would be, click!
It's no bullshit! An astounding collection of amazing stories from the secret files of Believe It or Else magazine. Read these astonishing facts and feel your fucking brain melt. The sun does not really give off light. It merely appears to give off light because everything around it is so dark. The Belzini tribe of South American Indians will eventually be extinct because they initiate their young by putting them to death at the age of 3. During her entire 64-year reign, Queen Victoria never once went to the bathroom. She said she was holding it in for a more appropriate time. Her words were,
"We don't have to go just now."
Indianapolis, the capital of Indiana, is actually located in Brazil. It only seems to be in Indiana when viewed on a map. When the Alexander Farkington family moved from Boston to San Diego, they had to leave their dog Peckerhead behind. Miraculously, 2 weeks later, the dog showed up in Key West, Florida. Mistakenly, Peckerhead had taken Interstate 95 south instead of getting on the Massachusetts Turnpike. Contrary to popular belief, Babe Ruth did not call his famous home run shot. He was actually giving the finger to a hot dog vendor who had cheated him out of 12 cents. Incredibly, there was no Hitler. There is no record of any such person. It's true there was a little German man with a small mustache who combed his hair to one side and started World War II. He also killed 6 million Jews, but he was not Hitler. He was in fact a shoemaker named Hank Fleck. A cheetah is actually slower than an armadillo. It only appears to be faster because the armadillo moves so slowly. Unbelievably, a goldfish can kill a gorilla. However, it does require a substantial element of surprise. It's now possible to travel completely around the world without money or credit cards. You must be prepared, however, to walk and swim extremely long distances. A 42-year-old man from Ball Bender, Wyoming, drove a riding lawnmower backward from Vermont to Argentina. The trip put him under such stress that he is now incapable of thought. The pyramids are not really old. They were built in 1943 as a joke by drunken Italian soldiers on leave in Egypt at the time. All photographs of the area taken before that time have been retouched. The sky is not blue. It merely looks that way because blue is the name we have given that color. 2 times 2 is not 4. It is 9. Actually, everything is 9. Except 17. 17 is actually 6. Placing a 200-pound pile of cooked garlic, dog shit, and chocolate chips on the doorstep of your newly purchased home will keep your enemies away. However, it will not prevent your new neighbors from considering you a family that bears watching. The record for the greatest amount of Jell-O in one location belongs to Lemon Lime, Minnesota, where residents poured 20,000 boxes of Jell-O into a lake and heated it just to claim the title. Most of them are happy with the results. However, some local residents diving in the shallow areas claim to have hit their heads on small pieces of fruit cocktail. Here's one more thing you don't need that costs too much and won't last long. Even if you've never had credit before, even if you owe money, even if you're bankrupt, even if you don't intend to pay, we don't care. Thousands of customers come back to us year after year, and they all say the same thing. Please give us our money back. Remember, it costs a little more, but it doesn't work as well, and it's loaded with things you can't pronounce. Special prices for senior citizens. Triple. Don't forget, we're big enough to give you a good fucking and small enough to smile while we're doing it.
Usually when you go to someone's house, they offer you coffee. They say, "You want some coffee?" I tell them, "No thanks, I have coffee at home.
But I could use a little pancake mix."
I try to get things I need. If I don't need coffee, I'm usually prepared with options. Do you have any of those Chef Boyardee SpaghettiOs, the ones with the little hunks of weenie in them? Good. I'll take a couple of cans of them, large if you have them. By any chance, you don't have any Hebrew alphabet soup, do you? Nah, okay, I didn't think so. How do the wax beans look today? Ah, the produce didn't come in yet. Well, I guess you better just give me a couple of rolls of toilet paper and some glass wax, and I'll be on my way. I gotta get over to Farley's house and do my drugstore shopping. He's having a special on gauze pads. Be a smart shopper, and don't forget to bring your coupons. I'd like to talk to you about fruit-flavored teas. These would be teas that are flavored like fruit. Fruit-flavored teas. You need to understand that. These are not fruits. They're teas, but they taste like fruit, all right? They have names like strawberry kiwi, lemon berry, orange mango, wild cherry, blackberry, and cranberry. They taste like fruit, and they sound like fruits too, don't they? They're not. They're teas. Fruit-flavored teas. And frankly, I don't understand this. Personally, I've always been of a mind that if you're looking for fruit flavor, if you're genuinely interested in something that tastes like fruit, and you find yourself in the tea section, you're probably in the wrong aisle. My advice is, if it's fruit flavor you're after, play it safe. Go ahead and get some fruit. I have found in my experience that fruit almost always turns out to be a reliable source of fruit flavor.
Another good place you may wish to look for fruit flavor would be in fruit juice. Fruit juice is made by squeezing the juice out of the fruit. Perhaps that's why they call it fruit juice. It doesn't taste like tea. For tea taste, you would need to get some tea. So let's sum this up. If it's fruit flavor you want, you can't go wrong with fruit. Or, as I pointed out, fruit juice. Don't be ordering tea. Tea has a tea flavor. It's not like fruit. It's more like tea. If you want tea, I say order tea. That's a different experience. It's known as having tea. By the way, have you ever noticed there are no tea-flavored fruits? Take a clue from nature. I don't understand why a chocolate dessert should include raspberries or strawberries. Intrusions of that type spoil the dessert. Leave the chocolate alone. It was doing fine by itself. I mean, here I am, innocently sitting at my table, waiting for a nice chocolate thing with lots of whipped cream and chocolate sauce to arrive, and I find that some asshole in the kitchen has decided to show off by throwing a bunch of strawberries around. Chef's ego. Strawberries belong in strawberry shortcake, not in chocolate desserts. I wouldn't want a bunch of chocolate in my strawberry shortcake, would you? No. Ergo, I don't want strawberries hanging around my chocolate cake. Chocolate cake is called chocolate cake for a reason. It's chocolate. Leave it alone. Put the strawberries in a nice sherbet if you must. Or put them in a bowl by themselves, over there, near the raspberries. But please, don't spoil my chocolate. Hey, chef, you want to exercise your ego? Weave the berries into fabric and make a strawberry chef's hat. Be as creative as you want. But stop fucking with my chocolate. P.S. People who dip sweetly tart strawberries into liquefied chocolate, wait for it to cool, and then eat the whole thing ought to be placed in mental institutions. What you should do is this. Drink the chocolate before it cools. Then put the strawberries on your kid's cereal. And while we're at it, folks, nuts have no business in ice cream. Ice cream should be creamy. Nuts interrupt the creamy idea. Chunks of nuts don't belong in ice cream. Put them in a little bowl by themselves. Put them in a candy bar. Stick them up your nose for all I care, but leave my ice cream alone. And in general, please stop fucking with my desserts. Euphemisms and politically correct speech have also infiltrated the food and restaurant businesses. We may as well begin with the inflated job titles, since they seem to be showing up everywhere we visit. In a truly absurd departure from reality, at some point, waiters temporarily became wait persons, as if waiters and waitresses were somehow sexist terms. For a while there, a few of them even became known as waitrons, until everyone involved simply refused to call them that. Now they seem to have settled on servers. These servers are said to be on the wait staff. Wait staff seems forced, doesn't it? And it goes without saying, no restaurant today would dare allow a cook to cook the food. Instead, the cuisine must be prepared by a chef. An important factor to keep in mind with all of this restaurant and food talk is yuppie pretentiousness. I was in a yuppie joint last year where the cover of the noontime menu, instead of saying menu, actually had the words lunch solutions. There I sat, unaware that I even had problems. And those nice folks were ready to provide solutions. Once again, I feel the need to emphasize that I actually saw this. Every example I offer you on these euphemism topics has been personally observed. And before we get to the food itself, I just want to remind you that you can usually determine a restaurant's price range by noticing how it advertises. If it uses the word cuisine, it'll be expensive. If it mentions food, the prices will be moderate. However, if the word eats is employed, rest assured that any savings you make on the food will be more than offset by high medical expenses. Now, on the subject of food itself, I'm sure you know that certain foods have been altered. And I don't mean genetically, I mean euphemistically. They tried to do it to prunes. The California Prune Board wanted to change the word prunes to dried plums, because research told them that women in their 30s reacted more favorably to the phrase dried plums. California women in their 30s. Does that tell you enough? And the poor prunes were not alone. A long time ago, the same thing happened to garbanzo beans. Apparently, someone thought the word garbanzos sounded too much like a circus act, so they began using the older name, chickpeas. Also, at about that time, again for marketing purposes, Chinese gooseberries became kiwi fruit. And since it was obvious feminists would never use an oil derived from rapeseed, we were all introduced to canola oil. And just to round out our meal, the reason Chilean sea bass became so trendy a few years ago was because it was no longer being called Patagonian toothfish. That item needs no comment. And let's not even mention capellini, which became angel hair pasta. Jesus, angel hair. And by the way, who was it that took the perfectly nice word macaroni and started calling it pasta in the first place? That sounds like more of that marketing bullshit. Never underestimate the relentlessness of the marketing people. Because long before we had yuppies, consumer goods had been getting image upgrades from the marketers. For example, seltzer water has variously been known as seltzer, carbonated water, soda water, club soda, and finally, enter the yuppies, sparkling water. Sometimes these days the label on the sparkling water says lightly carbonated. Of course, that means they had to find a name for water that wasn't carbonated, and since non-carbonated sounded far too ordinary, the trendier restaurants decided on flat water. There are even a few places that refer to it as still water. It's subtle, but it's clearly a decision that when it comes to beverages, flat may possibly be seen as negative. Never overlook pretentiousness. Pretentiousness is the reason we don't drink water anymore. Instead, we hydrate ourselves. Hey, I'll hydrate myself to that. This is about food advertising language. You're familiar with the words. You hear them all the time. Fresh, natural, hearty, old-fashioned, homemade goodness. In a can. Well, if those are the words they want to use, let's take a look at them. Old-fashioned. When they say old-fashioned, they want us to think about the old days, don't they? The old days. You know, before we had sanitation laws. Before hygiene became popular. Back when E. coli was still considered a condiment. Right next to old-fashioned in the warmth and nostalgia department is homemade. You see it on packages in the supermarket. Homemade flavor. Folks, take my word for this. A food company operating out of a 90-acre processing plant is functionally incapable of producing anything homemade. I don't care if the CEO is living in the basement, wearing an apron and cooking on a hot plate. It's not gonna happen. Same with restaurants. Homemade soup. Once again, doesn't matter how much the 4-foot amphetamine-laced waitress with the bright orange hair smoking the 3 Marlboros reminds you of your dear old mother, the soup is not homemade. Unless the chef and his family are sleeping in the kitchen, and if that's the case, I'm not hungry. Homemade is a myth. You want to know some things that are homemade? Crystal meth, crack cocaine, a pipe bomb full of nails. Now we're talking homemade. If you need further information, check the notes of Timothy McVeigh. Old Tim knew how to cook up little homemade goodies. Sometimes the advertising people realize that homemade sounds too full of shit, so they switch to home style. They'll say something has a home style flavor. Well, whose home are we talking about? Jeffrey Dahmer's? Believe me, folks, there's nothing home style about the boiled head of a Cambodian teenager, even if you sprinkle parsley on the hair and serve it with oven-roasted potatoes. Style is another bullshit word you have to keep an eye on. Anytime you see the word style added to another word, someone is pulling your prick. New York style deli. You know why they call it that? Because it's not in New York. That's the only reason. It's probably in bumfuck Egypt. The owner's from Rwanda, and the food tastes like something the Hutus would feed to the Tutsis. Another bogus use of the word style is in family-style restaurant. Family-style. What that means is that there's an argument going on at every table, and the eldest male is punching the women. You know, family-style. Gourmet. Here's another word the advertising sluts have completely wiped their asses with.
Everything is gourmet now. Gourmet chicken in a can. Gourmet dining in a cup. Folks, try not to be too fucking stupid, would you? There's no such thing as gourmet coffee, gourmet rolls, or gourmet pizza. Gourmet means one thing. We're going to charge you more. Same thing is true of the word cuisine. The difference between food and cuisine is $60. That's it. They're stealing from you. You want to know some real gourmet food? Toasted snail penises. Candied filet of panda asshole. Deep dish duck dick. Now you're talking cuisine. Here's a word only a bullshitter could love. Hearty. Soups are hearty. Breakfast is hearty. Folks, next time you see the word hearty, take a good look at the rest of the label. 600 grams of saturated fat. You know, hearty, as in heart attack. It's a good idea to be wary of any words ending in Y, in particular such words as buttery, lemony, and chocolatey. Anytime marketers add a Y to the name of a food, you can be sure they're yanking your schwants. Real chocolatey goodness. Translation? No fucking chocolate. And while we're at it, zesty and tangy are not real words that normal people use in conversation. Has anyone ever turned to you in a restaurant and said, "This pork is really zesty, and it's tangy, too"? My comment, "Hey, zesty, I got something tangy for you." And watch out for the word flavored. Lemon-flavored drink. Oh, yeah? Let me know if you spot any trace of a goddamn lemon in there. There's even a pet food that calls itself a chicken-flavored treat. Well, a dog doesn't know what chicken tastes like. He might like it if you give him some, but he's not going to say, "Oh, good, I was hoping we'd have something chicken-flavored again. One grows so tired of beef." The last one of these bullshit food words is natural. And these comments are directed at all you environmental jack-offs out there. The word natural is completely meaningless. Everything is natural. Nature includes everything. It's not just trees and flowers and the northern spotted owl. It's everything in the universe. Untreated raw sewage, polyester, toxic chemical waste, used bandages, monkey shit. It's all perfectly natural. It's just not real good food. But you know something? It is zesty. And it's tangy, too. Bon appetit, consumers. I have a few complaints about retail stores. When did they pass a law that says the people who make my sandwiches have to be wearing gloves? I'm not comfortable with this at all. I don't want glove residue all over my food. It's not sanitary. Who knows where these gloves have been? Let's get back to the practice of human hands making sandwiches for human beings. And we have to stop this tipping people for counter service thing. No one should get a tip for standing erect, moving a few feet to one side, and picking up a muffin. The sign on the pathetic little tin cup says tips would be appreciated. Well, so would some fucking decent service. Let's be honest, folks. There's not a great deal of IQ floating around behind these counters. Maybe in their homelands, some of these people might pass for intelligent, but to me, if they live in this country and can't speak English, their IQ plunges around 300 points. I shouldn't have to leave a tip in order to pay for someone's English lessons. And store clerks, you should not be on the phone when you're waiting on me. I'm going to repeat that. You should not be on the phone when you're waiting on me. When I, the customer, walk up to the counter, the phone should be put down. And if it rings while you're waiting on me, let it ring. After 10 rings, pick it up, and without even saying hello, say, "I'm currently waiting on an actual paying customer who has money and has had the courtesy to come into the store to transact business. I will get to you when the store is empty. Stay on the line if you wish, but I may not get to you till sundown." Then smile at me and say, "Where were we?" The in-store customer should always come first. And where did this new rule come from that says the second person standing online in a store has to hang back and leave about 6 feet of space between himself and the customer being waited on?
You know, one person is already up at the counter, and the next person is standing back 5 or 6 feet, leaving all this unused space. When did this shit start? And I'm not talking about stores where there's an obvious central feeder line, one line that feeds a number of counter positions. I'm talking about an individual line that feeds a single counter. And these dopey people hang back like they're afraid of offending someone. This has obviously grown out of some perverted, politically correct impulse. Move up, motherfucker. Take up the slack. You know what I do when I'm behind one of these timid jack-offs? I step right in front of him and take his place in line. If he doesn't like it, I say, "You should have moved up, twat-face. Don't you know space is at a premium? I gave you a full minute and you didn't move. Now I'm next." I also get very unhappy with people in supermarkets who stop their carts in the middle of the aisle and just stand there looking at the soup. They don't know what they want, so they're looking. Parked! In the middle of the aisle, they're trying to decide. Why would you go to a supermarket if you didn't know what you wanted? You know how I shop? I enter the store with a list in my hand, and I move quickly through the aisles from item to item, and I'm in the parking lot before Hamlet has figured out if the cream of mushroom is a better bargain than the chicken with stars. I say, know what you want, get what you need, and get the fuck out of there. That's how you shop.
Hello there, I'm a cockroach. Listen, I'm gonna keep this to a minimum because I gotta get back to the kitchen and eat a bunch of crumbs that I spotted on the table. Plus, there's a little puddle of gravy on the left side of the sink near the drain that nobody noticed. Okay, here's my deal. Bug sprays. We don't like them, we don't need them, we don't want them. We say get rid of them, okay? That's it. Otherwise, if you don't do what we want, we're gonna crawl all over your face while you're asleep. We'll even go up your nose. We don't care. Thanks. I'll see you later. And for Christ's sakes, turn out the lights, will you please?
When I'm on a commercial flight and I see a fly flying down the center of the airplane from back to front, I like to take him off to one side and ask him if he understands how fast he's moving. They never really know. So the first thing I do is briefly explain Newton's laws of motion, complete with a small diagram to make it a bit easier. But the only thing the little fly egos are interested in is how fast they're moving. So I tell them that in order to calculate their velocity relative to the ground, all they have to do is add their own flying speed to the speed of the airplane. I show them how it works, and they can't believe it when they discover that they're actually traveling over 500 miles an hour. The first thing most of them mention is that a frog's tongue wouldn't stand a chance against that kind of speed. Here's a small sampling of embarrassing societal clichés that I find tiresome and in some cases just plain ignorant. If it saves just one life. You often hear a new policy or procedure justified by the specious idea that if it saves the life of just one, and in there you insert child or American soldier, it'll be worth it. Well, maybe not. Maybe a closer look would show that the cost in time, money, or inconvenience would be much too high to justify merely saving one life. What's wrong with looking at it like that? Governments and corporations make those calculations all the time. Every child is special. An empty and meaningless statement. What about every adult? Isn't every adult special? And if not, then at what age does a person go from being special to being not so special? And if every adult is also special, then that means all people are special, and the idea has no meaning. This embarrassing sentiment is usually advanced to further some position that is either political or fundraising in nature. It's similar to, children are our future. It's completely meaningless and is probably being used in some self-serving way. After the death of some person, even many years after, you'll often hear someone refer to the deceased by saying, "I get the feeling he's up there now, smiling down on us, and I think he's pleased." I actually heard this when some dead coach's son was being inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. First of all, it's extremely doubtful that there's any up there to smile down from. It's poetic, and I guess it's comforting, but it probably doesn't exist.
Besides, if a person did somehow survive death in a non-physical form, he would be far too busy with other things to be smiling down on people. And why is it we never hear that someone is smiling up at us? I suppose it doesn't occur to people that a loved one might be in hell. And in that case, the person in question probably wouldn't be smiling. More likely, he'd be screaming.
I get the feeling he's down there now, screaming up at us, and I think he's in pain. People just refuse to be realistic. This puts everything in perspective. This nonsense often crops up after some unexpected sports death, like that of Cardinals pitcher Daryl Kyle. After one of these athletes' sudden death, one of his dopey teammates will say, "This really puts everything in perspective." And I say, "Listen, Putz, if you need someone to die in order to put things in perspective, you got problems. You ain't paying enough attention." America's lost innocence. I keep hearing that America lost its innocence on 9/11. I thought that happened when JFK was shot. Or was it Vietnam? Or Pearl Harbor? How many times can America lose its innocence? Maybe we keep finding it again. Doubtful. Because actually, if you look at the record, you'll find that America has had very little innocence from the beginning. Let the healing begin. This bothersome sentiment is usually heard following some large-scale killing or accident that's been overreported in the news, like Columbine, Oklahoma City, or the World Trade Center. It's often accompanied by another meaningless, overworked cliché, closure. People can't seem to get it through their heads that there is never any healing or closure, ever. There is only a short pause before the next horrifying event. People forget there's such a thing as memory, and that when a wound heals, it leaves a permanent scar that never goes away, but merely fades a little. What really ought to be said after one of these so-called tragedies is, "Let the scarring begin." Just trying to be helpful here.
We're Consolidated International, and we might be looking for you. Are you one of those submissive people who show up, punch in, put out, pitch in, punch out, clean up, head home, throw up, turn in, sack out, and shut up? That's what we need. People we can keep in line. We just might have a place for you. Consolidated International. People making things so people have things to do things to other people with.
I hope all of you good, loyal Americans understand that in the long run, the Islamist extremists are going to win because you can't beat numbers, and you can't beat fanaticism, the willingness to die for an idea. A country like ours, preoccupied with jet skis, off-road vehicles, snowboards, jacuzzis, microwave ovens, pornography, lap dances, massage parlors, escort services, panty liners, penis enhancement, tummy tucks, thongs, and odor eaters, doesn't have a prayer, not even a good old-fashioned Christian prayer, against a billion fanatics who hate that country, detest its materialism, and have nothing really to lose. Maybe 50 years ago, but not today, when germs and chemicals and nuclear materials are for sale everywhere. People who don't give a shit and have nothing to lose will always prevail over people who are fighting for some vague sentiment scrawled on a piece of parchment. Folks, they're gonna get you, and it ain't gonna be pleasant. We can't drop a 5,000-pound bomb on every one of them. They will either run all over us, or in trying, they will turn us into even bigger monsters than we already are. And don't get all excited about this goofy idea of the spread of democracy. No matter who the United States puts in charge to bring peace and order in Iraq or Palestine or anywhere else, those people will be killed. It's that simple. Anyone who supports the United States will be killed. Peace and order will not be tolerated. Start saving your cash for the black market, folks. You're gonna need it.
Channel 7 recognizes its obligation to provide equal time to viewers who disagree with its editorial policy. Here, then, with an editorial reply, is Dr. Stephen Wanker, a clinical psychologist. Dr. Wanker speaks as a private citizen.
Thank you. Are these Channel 7 people kidding? Huh? What kind of crap are they trying to pull? Did you hear that shit they said last week about the budget? Jesus Christ, I couldn't believe it. What kind of assholes do they think we are?
And they were always acting so self-righteous, like they know what's good for us and we're too stupid to think. I get tired listening to this shit. How about you, huh? Fuck these people. Who do they think they are with their goddamn three-piece suits and their fancy eyeglasses? And by the way, you know how long it takes to get one of these goddamn editorial replies on the air? 3 fucking years! 3 years ago I started asking to do this shit. They kept saying, well, we're not sure you're stable enough to be allowed on the air. And I said, stable? What are you fucking people, crazy? I'm as stable as the next cocksucker. I said to him, bend over and I'll give you something stable. Fortunately, they were able to recognize the logic of my argument, and here I am. But you know what I found out these assholes can do? They can cut you off the air if they want to. For instance, if they don't like what you're saying, they can just fucking inter...
That was Stephen Wanker, a clinical psychologist. Tune in to Channel 7 tomorrow night for another editorial reply, as schoolteacher Howard Boudreau delivers an opinion titled, What's All This Phony Bullshit About Drunk Driving? And later in the week, don't miss Mayor Cosmo Drelling, as he addresses another important issue, What's So Bad About Slavery? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We now join Blowjobs of the Rich and Famous in progress. And later this evening, tune in Dr. Jim as he removes a wart from a lesbian.
I'm always glad when some group of American hostages is released overseas and they finally get to come home to their families. I'm not glad because I particularly care about them, but because I get sick of hearing about them on TV, and I get sick of listening to their families. Jesus, did I get tired of all those whining hostage families during that bullshit in Iran in the 1970s. My husband's a hostage. The government's not doing enough. Hey, lady. If you don't want your husband to be a hostage, tell him to stay the fuck out of Iran or places like it in the first place. It's a simple thing. You don't have to be a theoretical physicist to figure it out. If you stay out of those places, you got a good chance of not becoming a hostage. And the media always refers to them as innocent Americans. Bullshit. There are no innocent Americans. And whatever they are, they're certainly not news. First thing you know, once they're back, they start writing books, one by one, and you have to endure the whole thing all over again, seeing them on every talk show, regurgitating the whole fucking boring story again. And here are some more families I'm not interested in. Astronauts' families. Who cares about these people? Astronauts' wives and children. They're not news. Keep them off TV. I don't even care about the astronauts themselves. Anal retentive robots wasting money in space. And, not incidentally, spreading our foul, grotesquely distorted DNA beyond this biosphere. I say keep the infection local. God, haven't we done enough damage on this planet? Now we're going to go somewhere else and leave our filth and garbage all over the universe? Jesus, what a fucking pack of idiots we are.
Thank you. Here's a little scene between two Irish guys in New York.
Boy, a lot has changed in 20 years.
Yeah.
Is Norton still around?
Frankie?
No, Jimmy.
Jimmy's dead. And Frankie died at the funeral. They're both dead.
What about Bobby? How's he?
He's dead, too. A lot of them are dead.
What was the other Norton kid's name? Tommy? Is he dead?
No, Tommy's not dead.
Thank God for that.
He's dying.
Jeez, his mother must be heartbroken.
The mother was killed in a boiler explosion, blown to pieces.
Jeez, I'll never forget that house the Nortons lived in, you know? Kind of a cute place with little green shutters.
Hit by lightning 15 years ago, burned to the ground. All the pets were killed.
Jeez, that's too bad. I remember the Nortons always liked that house because it was so close to the church.
Our Lady of Perpetual Suffering?
Yeah, yeah.
The church is gone. Condemned by the city last year and demolished on Good Friday.
So where did the neighborhood kids go to school?
Most of the neighborhood kids were killed a few years ago by a rapist who worked at the grocery store.
Dorians?
No, Babingtons.
I like Dorians. They always had good produce.
Dorians collapsed 10 years ago and killed 19 customers. The entire Halloran family was decapitated at the butcher counter while they were picking out meat.
Jeez, times really change.
Well, life goes on.
I think the warning labels on alcoholic beverages are too bland. They should be more vivid. Here are a few I'd suggest. Alcohol will turn you into the same asshole your father was.
Drinking will significantly improve your chances of murdering a loved one. If you drink long enough, at some point you will vomit up the lining of your stomach. Use this product, and you may wake up in Morocco, wearing a cowboy suit and tongue-kissing a transmission salesman. Men, when emptying your pockets after a night of using this product, you may come across a human finger, a wad of Turkish money, and a snapshot of a naked ex-convict named Dog Meat. The photo will be inscribed, "To Dave, my new old lady." Women, drink enough of this, and you'll spend the rest of your life raising malnourished children in a rusting trailer with a man who sleeps all day, except for the rapes. Newspaper death notices could also be written more honestly. Have you seen the lies they print? Cherished and beloved husband of Kathleen, devoted and esteemed father of Thomas, loving brother of Edward. Bullshit. Let's be realistic. Ryan, James D., jealous and abusive husband of Kate, lustful, wanton father of Maureen, controlling and manipulative father of Matthew, cruel, envious, and conniving brother of Thomas, died yesterday to the great relief of the family. May he burn a long time in the worst parts of the deepest pits of the hottest precincts of hell. It is good to have him out of our lives. Funeral at the Church of the Holy Bleeding Wounds, burial in Crown of Thorns Cemetery. No flowers. Donations should be made in cash directly to the family for purposes of celebration. This realistic idea could spread. It might even inspire young men to make more realistic marriage proposals.
Honey, let's get married.